Sunny Side of Sports with Sunny Young. Happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you are kicking off with Women's World Cup football.
Kim, the field for the quarterfinals is now set at the Women's World Cup football tournament in Canada. Defending champion Japan earned the last quarterfinal berth with a 2-1 victory over the Netherlands in Vancouver, Canada. Sayori Ariyoshi opened the scoring for the Japanese in the 10th minute. Mizuo Sakaguchi scored her team's second goal in the 78th minute on a pretty left-footed shot before Kirsten van de Ven pulled one back for the Dutch ladies in extra time. The Japanese will next play Australia Saturday in the quarterfinals in Edmonton, Canada. In the other quarterfinal matchups, the United States, who lost to the Japanese on penalty kicks in the 2011 Women's World Cup final in Germany, they'll play China on Friday in Ottawa, Canada. Also Friday, France will face two-time world champion Germany in Montreal, Canada. And I think France will have plenty of support from the fans in French-speaking Montreal. They'll need that crowd support because the German women have been very impressive in Canada so far, scoring 19 goals while giving up only two. And let's give a quick Sunny Side of Sports shout out for two German players, Anja Mittag and Celia Sasic, who are the tournament's joint leading scorers with 5 goals each. In the last Women's World Cup quarterfinal, host Canada will play England Saturday in Vancouver. Looking ahead to next week, semifinal matches will be played June 30th in Montreal and July 1st in Edmonton. Edmonton will also stage the third place match July 4th, and the Women's World Cup final will be played July 5th in Vancouver. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sunny.
David, let's kick off with the Women's World Cup in Canada. We've reached the quarterfinal stage, and unfortunately for African football fans, none of the three African teams reached the final eight. Let's go team by team, David, beginning with Cameroon, which made it to the round of 16. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny, the round of 16, and unfortunately that's where it ended for Cameroon. A 1-0 defeat by China, a brave performance by the Cameroonians. But afterwards, the coach, and now in two, very angry, although I'm going to have to take issue with a couple of things. He says, the day we are prepared well, an African nation will be able to win the World Cup. We hope that with this performance, many things will change, not just in Cameroon, but in Africa. Now, Sonny, comes the part that leaves me cold, so to speak. He said, we didn't expect cold weather and rain. It was a handicap for our team. Now, Sonny, if I'm a coach and I'm going to Canada in the middle of the year, one of the first things I'm going to check are the weather conditions, because obviously it affects your footwear and it could also affect your tactics. And surely the Cameroon coach should have known that cold weather was a possibility and also rain was a possibility. So I think another strong point there for the coach. And he says it's also unfortunate that we have been training on surfaces that are not very slippery. Well, hopefully the next time round, memo to all African coaches, check the conditions, check where you're going to play. And if you're going to play in Canada, check Canadian conditions. If you're going to play in Thailand, check the conditions there. It can have quite a big bearing on the outcome. But nevertheless, Sonny, a high five to Cameroon, the only African team, as you said, to make it through the knockout stage.
Ivory Coast making its debut at the Women's World Cup. Your thoughts on the Ivorian ladies?
Well, they, of course, Sonny, got off to that horrendous start. 10-0 defeat by Germany. They improved quite a bit against Thailand, lost 3-2. And then in the final game against Norway, who were a pretty strong outfit when it comes to women's football, they lost 3-1. So I think on the positive side, Sonny, much improved performances after that horrendous start against the Germans. The coach of the Ivorians also came up with an interesting quote. He said, we arrived 72 hours before the game, and that's referring to the match against Germany, and we were very tired from a long journey of 15 hours and jet lag. Now, again, Sonny, it begs the question, why, when you're facing a mighty team like Germany, do you arrive just 3 days before the match? It cannot be finances, because the Canadians foot all the bills for a team once they arrive in the country. And I'm extremely sure that countries were allowed to arrive probably a week in advance. And I regret to say, Sonny, a very hard lesson has probably been learned by the Ivorians, and hopefully also by their coach, Clementine Toure. And that is, come well prepared. The Germans are among the strongest teams in the world, and the Ivorians should have been there probably a week in advance to acclimatize properly. So all in all, Sonny, it doesn't seem as if the African team's preparations were top-notch for the Women's World Cup.
The Super Falcons of Nigeria have been the most successful women's team in Africa over the years, but they also left Canada in disappointment. They were eliminated by the United States 1-0. Your thoughts on the Nigerian women, David?
Yeah, well put, Sonny. In fact, Nigeria have won 9 of the 11 African championships, so they are very much the queens of African football. But they have only once advanced past the group stage of the World Cup, so there's something wrong there. Now, the Super Falcons got off to a really good start in that they drew 3-3 against Sweden, a powerhouse in women's football. But then they lost 2-0 to Australia. And that meant, Sonny, they faced a must-win match against the United States. And the United States, of course, one of the forces in women's world football. And in a sense, you could probably say Nigeria did reasonably well in restricting the Americans to a one-goal victory. But when you need a win, a defeat is absolutely no use to you. So it was a very early exit for the Nigerians. So all in all, Sonny, a lot of lessons to be learned. And let's hope by the time the 2019 Women's World Cup comes around in France, that things like the weather conditions and the state of the pitches, etc., will not be issues.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Tanzania has hired a new coach for its national football team, as we hear now from the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma.
Boniface Mkasa is the new Tanzania Taifa Stars coach, the Tanzania Football Federation president Jamal Malinzi told the media in Dar es Salaam on Tuesday. A former Tanzanian international player, Mkasa, takes over from Dutchman Matt Norge, who was sacked following 5 consecutive matches in which Taifa Stars were defeated.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Turning to athletics, Nigeria's top home-based athletes compete at the Athletics Federation of Nigeria Golden League meet in Kaduna, North Central Nigeria, today, Wednesday. While younger competitors have a final opportunity to prove their ability before the World Youth Championships due in Cali, Colombia next month, the senior athletes are vying to qualify for the World Athletics Championships due in Beijing, China in August.
This is Larry Zamuje, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station. Of course, we partner the VOA.
VOA!
And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to sports radio, 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association will hold its annual draft of college and international players on Thursday night in New York City. The NBA draft will take place at Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn, the home of the NBA's Brooklyn Nets Club. Under the draft format, the league's 30 clubs make their selections over 2 rounds. The Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one pick, and they're expected to take either Karl Anthony Towns from the University of Kentucky or Jahlil Okafor of Duke University. And this quick African link about the 19-year-old Okafor, he was born in the southern U.S. state of Arkansas, but his grandfather is from Nigeria. Another 19-year-old player with African ties who's expected to be one of the top picks is Emmanuel Mudiay, who was born in Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mudiay played last season for the Guangdong Southern Tigers in the Chinese Basketball Association. Emmanuel signed a one-year contract with the Tigers worth more than $1 million, but he played in only 12 games because of an ankle injury. And this sunny side of sports programming note, VOA's Tadi Abeje will have more on the 2015 NBA draft during Thursday's show. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an interesting article on Emmanuel Mudiay. In more NBA news, the Charlotte Hornets will host the 2017 NBA All-Star Game at Time Warner Cable Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm sure that news brings a smile to the face of NBA great Michael Jordan, who is the owner of the Hornets. The 2016 NBA All-Star Game will be played February 14th at Air Canada Center in Toronto, the home of the NBA's Toronto Raptors Club. This will be the first time the popular exhibition contest is staged outside the United States.